We're going to be turning to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And today we're going to look at how to recognize God's best blessing. How to recognize God's best blessing. Ephesians chapter 1. We're actually going to read verse 3 all the way through verse 14. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according to He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Lord, we thank You today for Your many blessings. Lord, I just pray that You'll put Your power upon us. And Lord, help us say what You would have us to say. And Lord, just guide and direct in everything said and done. Let it bring honor and glory to You in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked at the verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." I looked at that word "blessed." There's two different words here. The one right before "blessed be God" is the word "blessed" means adorable, or basically the same similar word to adoration, or given adoration, or praising God, blessed. But then and they're real close to each other. The one number is 2128 in the Strong's, but the other one's 2127, and it means to speak well of, religiously to bless, thank or invoke a benediction upon, prosper, bless or praise, and that's the second. But then we have a dictionary meaning. I always like to look it up in the 1828 dictionary. Enjoying spiritual happiness or favor of God. Blessed. Also of or enjoying happiness, specifically enjoying the bliss of heaven. It carries the idea of that which brings pleasure, contentment, or good fortune. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in fortune as far as in that aspect. I mean, it's just the word we used here. But it brings pleasure or contentment. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So we have to admit that not one of us we can't say that we don't enjoy spiritual blessings. We can't say that we don't enjoy being blessed. And simply, we are, as God's children, a blessed people. We are blessed beyond measure. Most of us see blessings that are physical or material in nature. When most people think or share, "Well, the Lord has blessed us." Well, and I think we're all guilty of it, but it's referring to physical blessings. And God is good in that fashion. He supplies all of our needs. Or everyone in good health, they say that we're blessed. We have money in the bank and the bills are paid. We're blessed. We're living in a nice home and driving nice cars. We're blessed. I mean, there's truth to that. But what happens when a family is struck with some life-threatening disease? Do we cease to be blessed? What happens when we drive junk cars and our house is falling apart? Do we lose God's blessing? What happens when there's no money and we can't pay our bills? Does that mean that somehow God has quit blessing us? No. We tend to look at blessings in regard to how they benefit us materially, but all these are simply temporary at best. I mean, they're just temporary. These are immediate blessings that we look at. The real blessings of God are spiritual in nature, and these kind of blessings will never take taken from us when we're blessed. When it says, "He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places," so we see the comparison between spiritual and physical. We're going to be looking at three different thoughts here of this verse of simply how to recognize God's best blessing. When it says these, "He hath blessed us," and again, this is in the aorist tense, which means simply past tense. He hath blessed us. Just like when he says he saved us, we can refer back to that as past. And then he's saving us. And what I mean by that, he is sanctifying us. He's getting us ready for that day when he glorifies us. And when it says we will be saved, there's past, present, future. It just means he's coming back for us and it will be glorified. So we see at some point in the past, God blessed us. But there's also in this particular thing, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, is in the active voice. This means that these blessings that we received at some point in the past continue this morning, will continue on into the future. God is continually to bless us. He's blessing us with more snow, you know. So we could say, I have been blessed, I am being blessed, and I will be blessed. And there's truth in that. Because it says, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings? First thing we see here in verse 3, the quantity of these spiritual blessings, the quantity. It's simply summed up when we read it. It says, who hath blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings. See, the word tells us that the Lord, when we find every single thing we need, he's going to give us everything we need to live the Christian life effectively, victoriously. See, he's blessed us with everything we will need to live a successful Christian life. It says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And the best thing is if he calls us to do something, he will always provide the way to do it. He'll always provide the means to do it. And he'll always give us what we need to accomplish that task. He's given us all spiritual blessings. Then we see that we can simply say that God holds nothing back from his children. He saved us. We were given everything we need to serve him. We have no, as God's children, when we receive salvation, we have no excuse for not being here. We have no excuse for not doing things for God, not witnessing for him, not doing what he wants us to do. See, we have everything we need right now to be content, to be successful, to be obedient, to be useful, and to be happy. It says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. See, he gave us everything we needed. Nothing more, nothing less than what he intended for each one of us. So we see that the quantity of spiritual blessing is all. He's given us everything. But the second thing we see here is the quality of the spiritual blessings. And this is where we're going to be going into more of these verses that I just read. The quality of these spiritual blessings. It says something about blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This means literally that the blessings originated in heaven. It also says there in James chapter 1, It says, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything originates in heaven. It says blessings in heavenly places. See, in the most literal sense, they are heavenly things. And we see these in the proceeding. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 14 here as we go through the message here. But it says in verse 4, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him. That we should be holy and without blame before him. This is only possible because why? The indwelt Holy Spirit. We can only be holy because Christ gave us his righteousness and takes our sinfulness. We see there in verses 13 and 14, it says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So we see, then it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See, the moment we're saved, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So he wants us to be holy. He wants us to be without blame before him in love. And he says there that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. But he speaks here in verse 4 of foreknowledge. He speaks of foreknowledge. He says, before the world, he says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's foreknowledge. For some reason, God, in his infinite wisdom, chose us before the world was formed. One of our greatest spiritual blessings we enjoy to save people, in fact, is the fact that we are chosen in Christ by the grace of God. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And then what does he say there in verse 29? It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. It's simply telling us that when God starts with us, he's going to finish with us. Yeah, he's going to save us, he's going to keep us, and he's going to take us home to be with him in heaven. See, he loved me even though he knew all about me. A good scripture for that is Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was in his foreknowledge. He loved us. He loved me even though he knew all about us. Each one of us. He sees. Isn't that a blessing? That's a spiritual blessing. He speaks of his foreknowledge. In verse 5 of Ephesians, it says, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. He speaks of family. We are adopted into the family of God. And at the point of salvation, we became children of God. As we see there in 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He speaks of family. See, this adoption we have, all the rights and privileges that is given to us, it comes to any child born in the family. We are joint heirs, as it talks about, with Christ in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. We're joint heirs and we have full access to God the Father. That's why we can go to Him boldly into the throne of grace. Why? Because of what Christ has done for us. We have it opened up access between us and God. See, the Father brought us into His family and made us children of God. That's a blessing. But we also see there in verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. This he speaks of favor. We are accepted by the Father. Why is that? Because of Christ. We were outcasts and aliens. There in chapter 2 and verse 12, it says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by what? By the blood of Christ. See, we're brought nigh by the blood. We were enemies, now we are family. We just come to the Father as we are, and what Jesus did pleased the Father. He come and died in our place. He exchanged His righteousness for our sinfulness. See, now He speaks of us with favor. The Father is pleased with us because what? We wear the righteousness of Christ. What a blessing. See, that's a blessing. We have God's favor. Why? Because of Christ. The next thing we see here in verse 7, the first part of verse 7, is He speaks of freedom. In whom we have what? Redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We have redemption. We have been redeemed. This means to release a captive after the payment of the ransom price. Well, Christ paid the price, and then what did He do? He released us. He redeemed us from, released us from the grip that sin had on our lives, and He defeated death and hell, as it says, and He released us. He set the captives free. See, it would be like purchasing a slave and then setting him free. It would be like paying for somebody and say, here, now you can go free. That's what Christ did for us. We were slaves to sin, and Jesus set us free. That's kind of goes along with the song, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. He paid it all. He set us. He speaks of freedom. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 18. It says, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So it's just showing that Jesus paid it. Jesus paid it all. John chapter 19 and verse 30. John chapter 19 and verse 30. It says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said what? It is finished, and He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. That's when He finished the work of redemption. And when He sat down, the work was finished when He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus paid it all. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, it says He set them at liberty. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Says, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, and what? To set at liberty them that are bruised. So He set us free. He gave us liberty. Jesus died for us. He saved us by His grace and delivered us from the captivity of sin. What a blessing. He speaks of freedom. But then we see in the last part of verse 7, it says, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The forgiveness of sins. When Jesus saved us, at that instant, every single sin for our past, present, and future were forever forgiven. We see in Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, So far hath he removed our transgression from us. And that's what a nice way to illustrate it, as is the far as east, the east is from the west. If you traveled east, you would continue to travel east. It would never end. And the same thing if you travel west. Going north and south, it's different. But east and west never ends. It's just a continual circle. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. It says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Micah 7 and verse 19. It says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and then and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Just some good illustrations of how God forgives us of our sins. And then we see here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, and you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances was against you, against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. He took everything, all of our sin, and it was nailed to the cross when he died on Calvary. He speaks of forgiveness. We see there in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So he speaks, as we see there, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. It speaks of forgiveness. We have been forgiven of all our sins. What a blessing. But then we also see there, verses 11 through 14, it says, it's read down through verse 8 down through. It says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who hath worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So he speaks of future. There are three more blessings here that manifest themselves as we go through life in the future. We see there in verse 11, our destination. We have attained an inheritance. John chapter 14, we're very familiar with that passage, where Jesus was going away. And John chapter 14, verses 1, says, let not your heart be troubled. Let you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We have we have obtained an inheritance, as we see there. Our future home is beyond our comprehension. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. See, we have an inheritance, an incorruptible inheritance that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. But then we also see in Revelation chapter 21, in verse 3. It says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto them, Write, for these words are true and faithful. We have an inheritance, an incorruptible inheritance. We have a home in heaven. It talks about a mansion. Each one of us are going to have a mansion. It's more than we can comprehend. What a blessing. But then we see in verse 12, it says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, to be the praise of His glory. What brings honor and praise to God is what? Our obedience. We looked at the scripture earlier. Our lives bring glory and honor to God. What we say and what we do bring honor and glory to Him. See, we're becoming more like Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, I know what it says, but I want to quote it word for word here. Chapter 5, verse 17 says that, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, we're changed. Our consecration, sanctification. It's a process. We're being changed. He changes us, gives us a new nature, but then we're continually being changed to be more like Christ throughout our life. Being justified, sanctification, it's a process. Well, it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, an experience that does not produce change in and out is not a valid salvation experience. If somebody's professing to be saved, their life has not changed, then there's something not right. See, it's about a relationship. We turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. There's going to be a day when we stand before Christ. But it's about a relationship. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. See, not everybody that professes salvation in Christ are saved. But one day, Christ is going to be able to tell them that face to face. And he's going to say, I never knew you. See, we got to realize that He is the life giver. He enables us to live the new life, which is pleasing to Himself. He enables us. But then the third thing we see, here we see in our destination, we have an inheritance in heaven, our future home. We've seen our consecration to be to the praise of His glory. But then we see there in verse 13 and 14, we see our preservation. Not only is He going to save us, He's going to keep us, and then He's going to come back and glorify us. But this is the point of keeping us. In verse 13 it says, In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. See, He is the earnest money. We have an idea about that now after we bought our home. We had to put down a down payment. Earnest money. We see in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He's keeping us God saves us. He keeps us, our preservation. He's our earnest money. He is the down payment that secures us for eternity. When God starts with us, he will finish with us. He promises he is coming back for us, as we've seen there in John chapter 14. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that which he hath begun a good work in, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Once he starts with us, he's going to continue to take us along. And then we see in 2 Timothy 1:12, it kind of goes along with the song we sang, into, I know whom I have believed and then persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Well, it says it right here in verse 12. It says, for which, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and have I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It's a relationship with God, but he says, this is Paul talking to Timothy, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. He's able to keep us. See, if you're saved, you're sealed, and if you're sealed, you are secure. We see in John chapter 10 and verse 12, or verse 28, sorry. John chapter 10 and verse 28. This is one of my favorite passages dealing with eternal security. When he saves us, he keeps us. It says, I give unto them an eternal life, verse 28, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. It just shows you that when God starts with us, he's going to keep us. He's going to sustain us. He's going to preserve us until the day of redemption. 1 Peter 1:5. We just read verse 4 earlier. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And it says in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Who are kept by the power of God. We are kept by the power of God. We're guarded. He says he gives us everlasting life. See, if you're secure, then you can rest and rejoice in the truth, in that truth. See, we can thank God that Jesus saved us, what? To the uttermost. He saved us to the uttermost. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Is wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make an intercession for them. See, he saves us to the uttermost. When Jesus does something, he does it right. He did it once, and that's all it took. He died on the cross, he saved us from our sins, and he done it for eternity, once and for all. He's taken our sins away. See, we see our destination, our inheritance in heaven. We see our consecration be the praise of his glory. We see our preservation. We're saved and sealed. But then we see the qualifications for these spiritual blessings. The qualifications for these spiritual blessings. We go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. The qualifications for these. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven, heavenly places, in Christ. See, that's the qualification, in Christ. We have to be saved. At the moment of salvation, we are placed into the body of Christ. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. He says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." We are in Christ. We are made partakers of all the spiritual blessings of the Lord. Why? Because we're in Christ. See, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that he's begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." Then we also see in verse 13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We can only thank God that we have a no-so salvation. We know that God has saved us. Why? Because he tells us in his word. So we see the quantity of spiritual blessings, that's all. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. We see the quality of these spiritual blessings. When we go down through several of those verses, we see the foreknowledge of God. He did it before the foundation of the world. We see that he speaks of the family when we are adopted. Talks about that in verse. Let's go back here. We are adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself in verse 5. And he speaks of family. But then he also there in verse 6, he's made us acceptable in the beloved. He speaks of favor. We have favor with God. Why? Because of Christ. He speaks of freedom in verse 7. He says we have redemption. We're set free. He speaks of forgiveness in the last part of verse 7. He says the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And then he speaks of the future there in verses 11 through 14. And he talks about our destination, which is an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance, a future home in heaven. He's also said here, talk about our consecration in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. What our life should do is should bring honor and glory to God. But then lastly, we see that our preservation. When God saves us, he seals us, he keeps us, and he's coming back for us one day. And the qualification for all these spiritual blessings is because we're in Christ. We're blessed with all these things. Why? Because we're in Christ. Let's pray.